Okay. Shischa on the Parsha. So here we go. We've got three ideas. Two of them are quick. One of them is in order to understand a little bit about Shischa in general. The last one is Noged Teshuvah. And the middle one is a real Vart. Okay. They're all Vart left that we can all connect to, but the bookends are timely or thematic. So Rav Bunim says a very interesting idea. I spoke about this on Monday at the Parsha Shir, but Rav Bunim has a different take on it. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem, and Moshe says, you know, Hashem, you brought me to this mountain, okay, I'm going to die. But Lemaisa, what's going to happen afterwards? Who's going to take over? Right? So what does Moshe say? He gives Hashem, somebody, it sounds almost chutzpah, he gives Hashem the criteria for the leader, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, we need someone who can go out with them and come back with them from war, right? That when he comes back, they'll have the same people. That's how some teach it, that the people that go out to war will be the same ones that come back. We need a leader that's good at military strategy. And then the question becomes, where in Moshe Rabbeinu's description of a leader does he talk about the things we know Moshe Rabbeinu about, right? That we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Who was Moshe Rabbeinu? Oved Hashem. He was Anav Mikol Adam. He was a person of upstanding character. And yet when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem who the leader should be, he has nothing about character. No midos, no sensitivity, no kindness. He should go out to war, bring him back from war. So where are the midos? So there are many vartlach on this one word. In the description of Moshe Rabbeinu's theoretical leader, he says the phrase that the Jewish people shouldn't be like a roeh, like sheep that have no roeh, right? Katzon asher ein lahem roeh, right? But there's one word in there that's presumably unnecessary, right? If you were to say in English, sheep that don't have a shepherd, so that sounds like a normal sense. In Hebrew, how would you say that? Katzon asher ein roeh, or bli roeh. Right? Katzon bli roeh. But that's not what the pasuk says. It's her ein lahem roeh. That they do not have, to them, a shepherd. Right? And even if you look at the translations, they just skip over the word. They don't even mention the word lahem. So all of the other Hasidish rabbi, the truth is I quoted from the Ksav Sofer, so I guess he's not Hasidish necessarily, but Rav Bunim points out a different shot in the word lahem. You can listen to the Monday Shir if you want to understand what the Ksav Sofer says. But today we're talking about Rav Simcha Bunim of Pshischa, and I think this Vart is very indicative of what Pshischa represents, at least for Rav Simcha Bunim's time. Rav Simcha says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael Hashem, ki roe Yisrael yetamid b'chol dor v'dor, echad min ha'am. That when a leader is appointed from the Jewish people, it should be mamish from the people. It shouldn't be someone who is on a lofty level. It shouldn't be someone who was born into prominence. It shouldn't be someone who was always left out and always beyond the normalcy of everybody else. No, it should be Achad Ha'am. Achad Min Ha'am. V'yisal b'malos of kashir yisman alios roe ha'am. And he should be someone who had lifted himself up in order to be appointed. V'lo tiyadas Hashem katzon asher ein lahem roe. What does that mean? Lahem. Sheharoa eino mishalahem. That it shouldn't be that you appoint a shepherd who's not from within them, who doesn't belong to them. Asher ein lahem. He's not one of us. What does it mean he's not one of us? So I think in order to understand this pshat a little bit, you have to understand the history of Pshischa a little bit. And we'll do it very briefly because we have a couple other vart left to go through. But when you think of Pshischa, you think about the history of Pshischa. I don't know if anyone's familiar. Maybe we talked about this the first week. Did we talk about the wedding of Ostiel? The wedding of Ostiel and Wedding of Ostiel. So quickly. It's a long mice. There's an entire book written about this wedding. But it was perhaps one of the most important weddings in Jewish history. Because at this wedding of Ostiel, many of the different sects of Hasidus were coming together. And Pshischa at the time had just begun, and sort of what the Yid HaKadosh had moved away from the Chozem in Lublin, and they had just appointed Rav Simcha Bunim. And Rav Simcha Bunim was not your normal Rebbe. Rav Simcha Bunim was in many ways familiar with secular culture. He played chess, and he would speak many languages, and he was a pharmacist, and he would learn, more academic type learning, like the Rambam, and he would study the Rambam, like, intently in front of his pharmacy, and he wasn't necessarily your normal type of chassid. And he was appointed to be the next Rebbe of Pshischa. after Dira Karosh, which is a big position. And all the other sects of Hasidus were not happy about it. And they all basically said, when we come to this wedding in Ostiel, you know who's going to be there? The Apterav. Not related to Rav David Apt, I asked him. The first time I met him, I said, are you related to the Apterav? No, okay. So I liked him a little less. But the Apterav, Rabbi Yisrael, I forgot his last name, the Avas Yisrael. No, that's one of the Enoch, I think. I don't think that was him. Was that him?
It was the original. And then he did the Avram Yeshua of the 20th century.
Okay, so who was Rabbi Yisrael? I think Rabbi Yisrael was the beginning of Apt. Because he was one of the Talmidim of the Maggid, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe I might be wrong. You can look it up. Rabbi Yisrael of Apt, Yavas Yisrael. And he was the sort of the Alter Rebbe in Hasidus at the time. And they said, okay, we're going to go to this wedding and we're going to ask the after of what he thinks of Pshischa, yay or nay. Right? And there's a whole story, and Rav Simcha Bonin was going to go, and then the Katzke Rebbe stopped the wagon, and said, if you're going to go, I have to go. And Rav Simcha Bonin said, well, if the Katzke Rebbe's going to go, then we're never going to win, so then I'm not going to go either. And then he sends his Talmidim, the Chiddush Arim being probably the most prominent of them. And basically, the Apterav gives them the thumbs up and saves all of Hasidus that comes from Pshischa for all time. So if anyone's familiar with Ger, it was saved by this wedding in many ways. The Chiddush Arim creates Ger in many ways. So what was different about Reb Simcha Bonin? You think about this break-off. So one of the main breaking points, although there's obviously carryover and exceptions, whatever, one of the main differentiations between Pshischa Hasidus and other sects of Hasidus at the time was the devaluation of the Rebbe. I don't mean to say that the Rebbe wasn't important, but I do mean to say that the Rebbe wasn't looked at as the person who does everything on your behalf. He's not the only person that can daven, and he's not the only person you can ask shalas to, and he's not the person that is going to teach you everything you ever know. But in Pshischa, it was more like you have to make your own. You have to be able to hold your own. You have to be a lamdan. You have to learn on your own. You have to have autonomy over your own Yiddishkeit. You have the Rebbe to ask questions to and to go for difficult things, but it's supposed to be on your own. So Reb Simcha Bonin says the following part, and it reminds me much of this concept. Reb Simcha Bonin says, when it says, Sha'aroa eno mishalahem, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that the Jewish people would look at the next leader like they looked at him. How did the Jewish people look at Moshe Rabbeinu? If you go back to the Egel Azav, so the truth is, if you look at the words of Bnei Yisrael, it doesn't sound like they're really doing Avodah Zarah. I mean, it is a form of Avodah Zarah, but not the classical kind. What do they say to Aaron? They say, you know, Kizeh Moshe Ha'ish Lo Yadanu Mehayalel. This Moshe, the man, we don't know what happened to him. What does it mean, the man? They saw Moshe Rabbeinu as the only person that could connect to Hashem, the only intermediary between them and Hashem. They saw him as above themselves. To the extent that if Moshe wasn't there, there's no way they can connect. There's no way they have any relationship with Hashem. The only other thing, they have to look elsewhere. And they made an Egel Azav, because there was no person among them that could be like Moshe. And Moshe comes back, according to this Vart, and says, Hashem, you need to create someone from within them that can lead them. And Hashem brings Yehoshua. Yehoshua, who was just a regular guy. The Medrash says that he's the guy that set up the base Medrash. He would set up the chairs. Right? Yehoshua was the guy that was there for the people. So this is where Rav Simcha Bonin says, Sha'ein lahem ro'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Hashem, he has to be Mishalahem. He has to be one of them in order for them to recognize that everyone can rise to Kedusha, everyone can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rambam says. So that's vort number one, which tells us a little bit about Pshischa. Vort number two is the independent vort for the night, and that's from the Me'ah Shiloach that we spoke of last week, the Ishbitzer. Rav Mordechai Yosef Leiner, the original Talmud / colleague of the Katzke Rebbe, ultimately breaks off and creates Ishbitz, which becomes Radzin. We talked about the little last week. So there's an interesting section of the parsha which just goes through all these names, and it gets a little onerous. But within the names, according to many Hasidic Rebbeim, are a lot of secrets, a lot of nuances that we can learn from. So there's one descendant of Shevet Gad, whose name was Uzni. La'azni mishpachat ha'azni, la'eiri mishpachas ha'eiri. Okay, so Uzni had his family from Uzni, and Eiri had Eiri. But Rashi points out that we've seen a different name before, a different name that presumably from God, and his name was not Uzni. His name was Etzbon, If you look back at Bereishis, so Rashi says, I think that Uzni is the same person as Etzbon. Okay, Shkayach. Who cares? So the Me'ah Shilach says the following. So he says, Ma'ashaychus shel Uzni le'etzbon, ve'ef shel ha'asper lefi chazal. Somewhat of a well-known Gemara. If it's not a well-known Gemara, it should be a well-known Gemara. Lam etzbosav shel adam domen li'yasedos. Why are our fingers shaped like pegs? Sometimes you meet people that their fingers are like flatter, or they're skinnier, piano fingers, whatever. But everyone's got the same, you know, cylindrical finger. So why did Hashem make it like that? So the Gemara tells us, Shem Yishma Adam Davar Sheino Hagun Yanyecha Etzbosav Baznav. They fit very nicely in your ear hole. That's what the Gemara says. You can put them in your ear. So if someone's saying Lashon Hara, you can plug it up. You don't have earplugs around, use your finger. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. Says the Me'ah Shiloach, says the Ishbitzer. L'chein sh'yardu Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, and they were going into Mitzrayim, a place which is full of Tumah, and especially a place full of Lashon Hara. Right? They didn't speak nicely there. La'avira tameo l'makum tame nikra etzbon. His name was Etzbon, shahayis so same as aznav shalal yiklo davar shalal l'ratzon Hashem. He didn't want to hear about the religiosity of the Mitzrayim or the lack thereof, right? The idol worship of the Mitzrayim. He didn't want to hear about it. So Etzbon will put his fingers in his ear. He was known to be the person who put his fingers in his ear as to not be influenced by Mitzrayim. And now, what is he called? He's not called Etzbon anymore. Because now he's not going to Mitzrayim anymore. Where is he going? He's going to Eretz Yisrael. So in this week's Parsha, when it comes to going to Eretz Yisrael, he's no longer Etzbon. He's now called Uzni. Now he's a fully fledged ear. He's an Ozen. He can open up his ears and he can finally listen to everybody. And he can, and Eretz Yisrael Machkim, he can listen to all the Torah that's being taught there. And he's able to imbue it and not be afraid of being influenced for the bad like he would be in Mitzrayim. About Pasuk Shelevinim, Kinas Asum La'aretz, Nikra Shmo Uzni, Shetiena Uznav, Psuchos, Ukshuvos, Lishma, Liklo, Kisha Sami, Ave Aretz. He could listen to the Torah that's being learned in Eretz Yisrael. And I think Musar Haskell for all of us is oftentimes when we come to a situation, we usually allow the situation to dictate and then we respond. Right? We say, you know, I'll give this person a chance, or I'll go into a situation without even preparing for it. And then they start talking badly, either about Yiddishkeit or about people or about, you know, Torah, whatever it is. And then we'll decide if we're going to accept it. And then we'll reject it. In both of these situations, when Etzbon and Uzni are thinking about, you know, when he is thinking about how to approach it, he's not even in the place yet. When he's called Etzbon, it's in Bereishis. He's going into Mitzrayim. He's decided already, I know where I'm going, I'm preparing myself for what I'm going to expect, which is a place which I'm not necessarily attuned with their values. And I'm going to call, you know, and he's known by Etzbon even before he goes into Mitzrayim. He doesn't go to Mitzrayim and say, well, let me see. I'll check it out. I'll see if it's a place for me. You know, I don't know, you can put your own example. I'll go to the bar, maybe it won't be so bad. And then you get to the bar and it's really bad. No. Etzbon went in knowing it was going to be bad. He prepared, he geared himself up for the fact that it wasn't going to be a place for his values. And he was already called while he was still, before going down to Mitzrayim, he was already called Etzbon. And similarly here, when he's about to go into Eretz Yisrael, he's not yet going into Eretz Yisrael, but now he knows it's a time where I can open my ears up. I can be called Uzni because I'm preparing myself to go. So just a Musar Haskel, we should prepare ourselves based on the situation we're going into, not respond when it's too late and we're already in the thick of things.
Wasn't he one who was alive when the
Ego
was built and shouldn't be going into Israel?
That's a good kasha. That's a good remember that it might not be referring specifically to Uzni going down to Eretz Israel. It might be his descendants. It's just referring back to Uzni. But point well taken. Last but certainly not least, we have a very important idea from the Sfas Emes, and I've seen this idea from other people within Pshischa. I think I actually saw from the Chozev of Lublin, so I don't know if Pshischa, whatever. Not going to say anything about that. But when it comes to the Karban Tamid, we have a pasuk we all know. We say it very often, either in the morning or we lay it on Rosh Chodesh. The pasuk says, "As Karbani lachmi lishai reach nichachi tishmeru lahakriv li b'moadel." So the Karban Tamid, make sure you bring it at the right time. Tishmeru lahakriv. Usually, in a very simple sense, tishmeru means to safeguard, to keep, to make sure you accomplish, to make sure you fulfill. Like shmiras Shabbos, mishomer Shabbos, you keep Shabbos. Says the following from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says, Hayim mefarish tishmeru milashon tzipiyah v'hamtana. Something about waiting. Where do we ever find the word shamar to be a reference to waiting, anticipating, to expect? And remember? It's an interesting possibility, but it's not usually how we understand Shomer Shabbos. Matzahs. The shmir that we have on matzah is mamash in the moment, though. Like, that is the shmir, to be watching the matzah. It is preparing us to eat the matzah, so that's true. It's awaiting the matzah to be finished, but the shmir is that moment.
The shmir with sham is lo sas.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with this. Yeah. If we go all the way back to Yosef, Yosef tells the brothers about his dreams, and he really gets them angry. What is Yaakov Avinu's response to Yosef's debacle there? Va'aviv shamaris hadavar. What does that mean? Yaakov was safeguarding that speech. What does it mean, safeguarding that speech? So Yaakov Avinu understood that what Yosef was saying was a quasi-nevuah for the future. And for Yaakov Avinu, he was shamaris hadavar. He knew that one day, even though there's strife among the brothers right now, that one day this thing will happen. So says the Sfas Emes, the same thing is true by this pasuk. V'chein haya omer lechasidav, the Sfas Emes would say, Bishosinu begalos an yichol mekayim esakasuv tishmeru lahakriv. We can be mekayim the pasuk of the Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid, it says, tishmeru lahakriv esishay. Right? Tishmeru lahakriv li b'mado. That you should be anticipating the ability to be makriv the Karban. What does it mean? Tishmeru lahakriv. It doesn't mean to just fulfill the ability to bring, but what it means is you have to be metzapeh lahakriv. You have to be wanting it. You have to be waiting and anticipating, expecting, hoping for it to come in the next moments. Im netzapeh b'chol eis levinon beis hamikdash lechirish avodas hakodesh temidim kisidram musafim kilchasam. That one day we will once again be able to bring the tamid. We can join in with the karbanos just through that hope, just through that yearning for the karbanos. We want to once again bring those karbanos. So he says, tishmeru lahakriv. Tishmeru in the sense of the pasuk, and it's a literal pshat, means fulfill the karbanos. Right? Make sure you safeguard the bringing of the karbanos. So Hashem says, no, it's tishmeru lahakriv. Anticipate it, yearn for it, just like Yaakov when he yearned for the day that Yosef HaTzadik would once again be bowed to and the Nevuah would come true. He was yearning for that day. He was anticipating. He was hoping for it. He was waiting for it. So do we. When we look at the Karbanos, we should be Tishmeru Lahakriv. We should be Shomer as the Karbanos. We should be waiting and anticipating and expecting it. We say in Kedusha on Shabbos, we say, right, in Mimkom Chamalkinu Sofia V'Simloch Aleinu Ki Mechakim Anachnu Lach. Right? We say from Hashem, Hashem, rule over us because we're waiting for you to rule over us. What a chutzpah. Hashem, why should you come back? Why should you come back to Yerushalayim and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? Ki mechakim anachnu. We're waiting. Hello? We're waiting for you. Where are you? What a chutzpah. How can we say that to Hashem? So Efshel Omar, and I think I got this from Rav Woodmere, who might have been quoting from the Baal Shem Tov, but I'm not sure. I don't remember anymore. That the word ki can be understood in many ways. So one way to understand ki is simply as because. Right? You should come, Hashem, because we're waiting for you. And that sounds like a chutzpah. But you could also understand it as when. V'simloch aleinu, when, Hashem, will you rule over us? Ki mechak menachnu lach. When we start waiting for you. When we're saying, when is Hashem going to come? When we really, truly look at our watches and say, I can't wait for Hashem to come. I can't wait for Mashiach to come. I can't wait for the Beis HaMikdash. V'simloch aleinu only ka'asher mechakim anachnu lach. That's when Hashem is going to come, when we start to wait for Him. As long as we're comfortable here in Galus, and as long as we're enjoying our lives, and we're not trying to be mitzapel Yeshua, to bring the Beis HaMikdash back, Hashem's not going to come. But when is He going to, v'simloch aleinu, when is He going to rule over us? Only kimechakim and achnulach. When we're tishmeru lahakriv, when we actually wait, we anticipate, we hope, we yearn for the day the Beis Hamikdash comes. Obviously, the days we're in now, the 3 weeks, it's a good time to remind ourselves of this message. We think about the karban tamid. We think about it. We say it every single morning. We say it on Rosh Chodesh. We say it in this week's parsha, tishmeru lahakriv. We shall remind ourselves that although we might have very comfortable lives, comfortable lives here in Galus, we should all still remind ourselves that we should be Tishmeru LaHakriv, because the only time that Hashem will be Timloch Aleinu is when Ki Mechakim Anachnu Lach, when we start waiting for Him. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Thanks for coming out.